They have on numerous occasions told me anytime I felt like I needed to share, I was welcome to. So the only time I get the opportunity is when they're gone. I'm not a planner. I'm not one of these kind of people that are a planner. I am a spontaneous type of person. At times unorganized. I'm not a very good reader. I can read, don't get me wrong. She's looking at me like, oh. No, I can read. It's just I have today what people would probably refer to as attention deficit. When I was growing up, we didn't have that. But I can't focus on one thing more than about 10 or 15 minutes. My mind will wander. You know, as a kid, when I found myself in that position being distracted, it was real easy to get me back in line. Either my parents or a teacher, or particularly my orchestra teacher, would simply get 6 inches in front of my face and go, pay attention. And then I would be back to normal. Since the age of 12, I've been on stage at one point or another. Playing the violin, I did a little drama in high school, and then doing this. So I have no problem speaking in front of people, which is handy since I'm a salesman. Otherwise, that would be difficult. But there are rare occasions when I get in front of a congregation or a group of friends that I get a little nervous. And this is one of those occasions, because I don't want to offend anybody, and I certainly don't want to offend God. But again, like I said before, I'm not really a preacher. I tried for the last, because I've known about this for over a month. I said, okay, well, I get into the Word, and I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to share? Nothing. I sit it aside a little bit, I go back, what do you want me to share? Nothing. So then I'd look up some scripture and I'd read it and I'd try to study it out. And what do you want me to share about this? Nothing. So I do things a little different. I talk about how I see things as a Christian in this world. And then I ask God to explain them. So I kind of go at it backwards. With my attention issue, I'm not the best person you should come to as a prayer warrior. I'd love to pray for you. Gonna be short. There's not a whole lot of fancy words and explanations because it's just the way I am. I mean, after 10 minutes, I'm still praying for you and I'm thinking about what I need to do tomorrow morning at work. You know, if my mind just works that way. So if I wander, please keep that in mind. I don't expect to take a lot of time. I may actually, like last week, we got out of here early. When I say early, basically before the Baptist. Nothing against Baptists. I love them to death. But if you can get to the restaurant before the Baptist church does, you're getting out early. Nothing against them. I mean, we've gone to Baptist services, and my wife's going, oh, my goodness, what did he say? That, I mean, you can go there, and you can have 4 songs and a wonderful message and a great teaching and be out in 45 minutes. They know how to do it. I'm not. At Antioch, where we came from, we were accustomed to going a bit longer. We'd start at 10:30. If we got out of there by 1:30, we were doing good. So we just, by that time, it works even better. By that time, all of the mainline denominations have finished their meal, and we've got good tables in the restaurant that we sit at. So we're good. I won't take a whole lot of time. Mm. there was an airplane flying cross country, middle of the night. Everything's real quiet. It's kind of a stormy, not a real stormy, but a rainy, cloudy day. You look out the window, you can't see the stars, you can't see the moon. It's dark. It's quiet. And sometime during this flight, the captain gets on the intercom. And says, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. I must inform you that we've had some minor issues with our instrumentation and we can no longer get our compass to work properly. In addition to that, we have lost communication with the tower. So I'm here to tell you we are hopelessly, helplessly lost. However, by my calculations and our airspeed, we seem to be making really good time. Which is kind of where we are in a world today. This is a crazy world. Everything we get today is now. I want it now. I want it bigger. I want it better. I want it prettier. I need it shinier. I need a better phone. I need a fancier car. I need a better job. I need a better 401k. I need a better savings account so one day I can retire and I can relax. And when I turn 70, I can afford that facelift. And I can look like I'm 70 with a facelift. And it's meaningless. We have shut ourselves off from the rest of the world. We are more connected via the internet, via cell phones, text messaging, emails, than we ever have been, and yet we're lonely. We don't have face-to-face anymore. We shut ourselves off in our little cave, and we hide behind the keyboard, or we hide behind whatever means of social communication. That's what they call it. It's social communication. No, it's not. It's hiding. Don't get me wrong. I use it. I need it. And we all do, too. That's the thing. We can't ignore this. Because the world's using it against us. So we can't just ignore it. Because God told us we need to fight. We need to stand up. We need to lift each other up. But with a click of a mouse or a push of a button, you can have anything now. It doesn't even have to be that. Now you don't even have to do that. You can just talk. Have you seen these things? You know? Amazon, whatever they are, things you just, I don't know what they're called. You just talk. You don't even have to push a button. What are they called? Alexa, there's one Alexa. Yeah. You walk in there, Alexa, turn the lights on. They turn the lights on. Or Alexa, adjust the temperature, and they adjust the temperature. What scares me is these things are certain, one of these days going to get an attitude. Think about it. Can you imagine that going, "Hey, Alexa, what's the temperature outside? Why don't you stick your head out and see for yourself?" I mean, one of these days, they're going to get an attitude. That's where we're going. Anything they can do to make it easier, to make it simpler, to make it smoother, I should say, to transition what you believe in into what they believe in. That's all this is. So you have to be wary. You have to be wary. But you can't shut yourself off. In, can't hide. In, let's see. Yes, I actually did find a few things here. And that's what we're doing. We're hiding. But in Jeremiah 23rd chapter, verse 24. And I use the NIV. Nothing particular reason for that other than that's what I have. So. Verse 24, it says, "Can anyone hide in secret places that I cannot see him?" declares the Lord. "Do not I fill the heaven and the earth?" declares the world, the Lord. There's nowhere we can hide. We can hide from each other. I can hide from Bert. I can't hide from God. I can hide from Janita. No, I can't. But I can't hide from God. But we run the risk when we hide of going against what God wants us to do. Mainly what he wants us to do is to stay together. I'm not saying we can't sit and text each other. That's fine. But if that's our only communication, then we're missing something. I tell people all the time, and most of you know, we bought a house not too long ago. It's an older house. With something that you don't see in modern construction these days, and that's a front porch. Go to any new neighborhood. See if you can see any of these houses that have a front porch big enough to gather on. You don't find them. You find a back deck surrounded by a privacy fence. Right? Where you can gather there with all your friends and talk about all the problems on the other side of your fence. We're a gossip society. Got to have the latest news. We got to find the dirt. We got to understand why. We've gotten to the point, and it's strange when people get upset, not because of what they got caught doing, but because they got caught. I'm not going to get into politics. Because, I'm not going to do it. But when you blame the person who got you in trouble, not the trouble you caused, something wrong here. It's not our fault. My dad raised me to believe that you do not make excuses. You give reasons. There's no excuse. If I mess up, there's no excuse. I messed up. Take responsibility for what you do. I had to do that a lot. I've been real good at it. And for some reason, no matter how hard I tried, I always find myself in one of those particular situations where I really have no excuse. One particular time I was in the Air Force and I was traveling from Chanute Air Force Base and in Illinois, and I was going to Cincinnati where my folks had moved. And at the time I had this old beat up van, first car I ever bought it myself, 1960 Econoline van. Nothing worked on it. I had no heater, I had no gauges. 3-speed on the column, driver's seat, a passenger seat, and 5 inches of foam rubber in the back. Shag carpet, of course. Of course, no radio, no dash lights, no speedometer. I had headlights, I had a horn. I think I might have had turn signals, I'm not sure. But this was my first one that I've paid. My dad wouldn't buy me a car. This one a whopping $500, I think, back then. And I'm heading from Indiana, or through Indiana, going to Ohio. And this was the time when a thing got kind of popular on the highway called the radar gun. And we had heard horror stories, and I hadn't seen one before. Yeah, watch it. They'll hide out in hay wagons, or they'll camouflage themselves in a hay bale, or you know, they'll hide under this, and they'll get you. So I'm tooling along. Literally. I was lost, but I was making really good time. Had no idea how fast I was going. I know I was probably going too fast. Speedometer didn't work. Cloudy day like today, just before Christmas time. And having a good old time. I mean, this thing had like 3.5 inches of play in the steering wheel. You got a picture there. So I mean, the whole thing, it was just a piece of junk car. And I'm going along the highway, and I look in my rearview mirror, and I see what I think is an unmarked car coming at me very quickly. And I thought, oh, no. What am I going to do? Just then I noticed a sign, so for a rest stop. And thinking quickly, I thought, I'll just whip off in here. And I'll run in there real quick and act like I really needed to use the bathroom. Maybe this guy will have a little mercy on me. So I whip off the highway. And as I pull off, I look back and the car keeps going. I notice it's not a cop. So he just keeps right on going. I thought, well, okay. So I just whip right on back out. Going along the road. A few minutes later, I look up and there's a lights behind me. Oh, no. I pull over. And like I said, it was a cloudy day like today. And this guy had, still on a cloudy day, had the mirror sunglasses on. Great big old Indiana Highway Patrolman, crew cut. He was mad. Came up, he said, boy, do you have any idea how fast you were going? I said, no, sir, I don't. How fast was I going? He said, you were going 55 miles an hour. So what's the problem? Threw the rest up. Oh. And I was taught, no excuses, told him why. I thought I was caught, I'm sorry. And he let me go, chased me all the way to the Ohio state line until I got out of there. No excuses. But we do that with everybody today. It's not my fault. It's the Republicans, it's the Democrats, it's the independents, it's the corn farmers, it's the hog farmers, it's the cow farmers, it's the city folks, it's the country folks, it's the Russians. Those are excuses. And if we cannot knuckle down and get this into our heart, not going to say things aren't going to happen to you. They will. It says they will. But it also kind of helps you on understanding what to do. If nothing more, pray. Even if you're like me, you can only pray short prayers. I think they carry a lot of weight. It doesn't matter if my prayer is 900 words or 420 characters. He hears us. You don't have to say all the these and thous and won'ts and yips and yahoos and all that. No. If God is in your heart, if he lives in your heart, he knows how you speak. Can't have a closer friend, somebody who's right inside you. So there's no need to sugarcoat it. There's no need to expand upon it. It doesn't have to be very fancy words or eloquent speaking kind of thing, just talk to God. I really think that even my short prayers make a little difference. They can make a lot of difference. I'm so blessed to have this lady who's so gifted in longer prayers. She's a prayer warrior. Sometimes it's difficult when she's saying grace. Here's the tip, never have a prayer warrior say grace. Your food gets cold. I'm teasing. I love her. I love her to death. 30 years ago plus. About 30 years ago. After we were married, See, I like easy. I like easy. So even as a youngster, when people would say things like, "Are you saved?" I would go, "Oh yeah, sure." Mm-hmm. I didn't know what it was. I figured if I agreed to it, I wouldn't have to find out. Easy. Terry, having ladies over to the house with their little Bible studies and prayer meetings. I'm out in the garage doing, tinkering with woodworking, whatever, and I thought they were studying, but they were ganging up on me. So, the prayer ministry, get him, God. Get him. And he did. And I wouldn't be here each and every day if she didn't keep praying for me. Because what I do is completely outside of my normal thing. I've got a short speech impediment too. I have a short attention span. I'm not a great organizer. I'm not a great planner. And I make my living as a salesman. You don't think I need prayer every day? I need prayer every day. And I need to be not so nice. I'm nice. I made a lousy car salesman. Gonna buy this car? No, okay. But we're all salesmen. Whether you think so or not, we're born into it. The youngest child, the littlest kid, can get their parents to do whatever they want to do, and they know how to sell it. As we grow, we teach kids not to do that so much. Just like with me. I was taught to keep my mouth shut and keep quiet. So it took a lot to keep me out. So I'm wandering again. So anyway, doesn't shutting ourselves off, we are constantly striving for, again, the bigger thing, the better thing. We need to have the money. We need to have the power. We need to have the prestige. I have run into so many people in my life in the last few years, particularly, who I see that are very successful people. They have the nice house, and they have the nice business, or they have the nice venture, whatever they're into, but they are so lost because their focus is 110% on that thing, and they ignore their families. They have no family life. So what does... one person, I won't even name any names, but in particular, this guy was so focused on business that he was in a family business. That if his kids didn't do it his way, he would fire his kids and send them packing. Doesn't matter, business first. No. And how they live with it, I don't know. But that is what he was taught. It's got to be better. You got to be more successful. You got to be in charge. You got to be the best. You got to be God's. He's the best. I can't do nothing without him. Let's see here. First Timothy, I believe. I don't think I gave this one to Aaron. Let's see if I get it right. Verse 6, yeah. First Timothy, verse 6. Anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, then he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies, in quarrels, about words, result in envy, strife, malice, talk, evil suspicion, constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means, or godlessness is a means to financial gain. Think about that. These people think godlessness. Godliness. It's a means to financial gain. That's not the way to do it. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can't take nothing out of this world. Can't take it with you. I know, quit doing that. So we're lost. We're lost in our computers. We're lost in our internet. We're lost in our text messages. We're lost in our caves. But we've got more information than ever before. We've got it sooner than ever before. Whatever you want to know, ask Google. Or Alexa, or Alexis, is that what it is? We're lost. We're making good time. But we've forgotten to fellowship with each other. Terry and I were prophesied over many years ago that we would one day have a house where people, friends would come and gather. That was a long time ago. That's the way it went. Well, maybe I was a different wife. Is that maybe? No. No, that we would have a home, a gathering place where we could minister to people. We've been married 30 years, and that's the first home that we've had that we could do that. God's in control. But you can't hide from Him because He knows where you're at. You can't put, by the same token, 100% of your effort just sitting back waiting for God to do something. You got to help. You can't do it yourself. But you got to help. Paul, when he traveled and ministered, he was a tent maker. He just didn't give up and expect everybody to take care of him. He practiced his craft as he ministered. God wants to put you in a place you're in right now for a reason. He put me here in this place with Terry and my beautiful daughter Shannon for a reason. I don't know why. If I thought why, then I could make up an excuse. I don't give excuses. I give reasons. I think we should quit hiding. Come out of our shell. Discover where we're going so we're not so lost. And the good time we need to make is that with our friends and our neighbors and our brothers and our sisters. And we need to tear down the barriers and the privacy fences and the backyard gates and open your doors. Get to know your neighbors. I don't know mine. This would be a real big challenge for me. I'm not telling you something that I'm doing. I was never raised as a social person. I was told to shut up and hide. Better to be silent and called a fool than to speak and remove all doubts. That's the way I was raised. But He's brought us to this place where people met us at the front door and welcomed us. Who made us feel like we were part of something other than just a building. And they accepted us, warts and all. I got a lot of warts. No, I'm not going to share them with you. Because that's the deal. That's just what God and I have to work out. But we all have those. Don't we? We have those little issues that just you and God have talked about every once in a while. I drive 1,000 miles a week. Think I don't have a problem with road rage? Maybe a little. I don't act out on it because I have a billboard on the side of my car. Where I'd like to act out on it is Walmart. You ever had road rage in Walmart? I told you I would ramble, and I do. But in Galatians, the 6th chapter, the 2nd verse, tells us to carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you fulfill the law. So we need to help those who need help. Pray for those who need prayer. Lift up those who need lifted up. Ross and Taylor have a wonderful ministry. I'm so blessed to have them with us. They're kind of funny, too. I like funny. We've been here long enough to know both Jacob and Janita before they were together. And it still feels like we just got here yesterday. Because there's so much more for us to do. But we need to do it together. This church is growing. Doesn't look like it today, but it is. All this work looks great, doesn't it? Invested quite a bit of money in this. You know what's funny about that? Somehow all that money showed up. The church's balance didn't dip a bit. To where it was. After all this, God is good. All the time. New folks coming in all the time. Michelle and Christian and her family. Welcome them all the time. I haven't had much chance to visit with you folks. Heard lots of stories. Oh, absolutely. You know Chris. We're on a path somewhere. God is up to something, as Pastor Harvey used to say. God is up to something, if you can hear that right. We're making good time. Let's not be so lost. Would you pray with me? Stand. Father God, I thank you for these friends. Friends that we've known, that we've come to know, and we look forward to those that we haven't met yet. Lord, that you would instill inside of our hearts that desire to move closer to you by moving closer to each other. That we get our direction from your word, that we love unconditionally, that we give without regret, that we pray without ceasing, Lord, that you would continue to bless each and every one here. Bless all involved with Christian Fellowship of Jefferson City. Thank you for our leadership, for Terry and Sarah, for Gary and for Chris. That you would continue to bless them and keep them, and you would teach us how to continue to come alongside and lift them up. And that we would all grow together in the glory that you have for us. Lord, that we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your giftings. We thank you for your strength. Lord, we thank you that you're not hiding your face from us. Lord, that you would go with us this week. You would make each and every person here a shining example of your glory. Not this place, but you are the center. Let us go out into this community. Let us get a direction. Let us fix our compass. And in times when we need to talk to you as our tower, our guider, a guiding light. Thank you once again for all you do for us, for this beautiful day. We ask that we all go out and make you the center of our lives. Give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name.